Was scarier because on 9/11,
we didn't know it was a terrorist attack. We didn't know that we got hit by a plane.
That first attack killed 6 people and injured over 1,000 after Muslim extremists left a bomb in a van in the Twin Towers underground garage. Julie Walker, New York.
A judge ruled that pharma bro Martin Shkreli was responsible for nearly $10.5 million in losses in his securities fraud case. The amount could result in a harsher punishment for Shkreli. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my recovering co-host of Radio Wasteland. What are we?
Say that like it sounds like I'm recovering from being the co-host.
Yeah, well, you survived the flu.
I did survive the flu. That's true.
And you're a young person.
Yeah, I've never not survived the flu before, but I mean, I guess that is a good thing to be thankful for here.
You can only not survive the flu once.
That is true. Well, yeah, I remember this one time in fourth grade where it killed me and I died.
Luckily, I had a plus five potion of healing and I was fine.
Yeah, I'm okay now. You know, I got over that whole phase.
Yeah, the flu's killing young people, you know.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't read the news. Oh, I do read the news, but I haven't read that in the news.
Really, it's been all over the news. I get my news in half-hour increments a night from Lester Holt. I know it's probably, you know, we live in a world where people are so divided that they either get their news from, you know, I was watching this article the other day that part of the reason why we're so divided is that social media is where a lot of people get their news, and social media is catering what we like to us. And
yeah, so it doesn't show you the other stuff.
It's showing you everything that you already believe in, and so people are just getting reinforced without getting some sort of deal. So I tend to watch Lester Holt with a grain of salt, and then I turn it off.
Mm.
Point being, there's a lot of flu deaths. Like 84 kids this year.
Well, I didn't know there was a lot of flu deaths, but it is traditionally children and elderly people. So.
Yeah, but we're talking like 20s and late teens.
That is weird and concerning.
Yeah,
so
not anymore. You're fine now.
Yeah, I guess I'm a survivor. Unless it's one of those flus where it's like you're really bad for a few days and then the symptoms all but disappear and then you suddenly just drop dead.
Here's hoping.
Okay, now.
So, you being a young person, this actually fits what I've been thinking today. You know, my wife and my daughter and myself and a lot of people I know have been in this sort of phase of our lives where we're kind of asking, how exactly did I get here? And why? Why exactly did I get here? You know, my wife and I have been budgeting our money and we feel like we have less money. We've been budgeting it, and it's harder to pay off our debt than it was when we weren't budgeting it. And we're asking ourselves, how exactly did we get here? And so, you as a young buck.
Wait, you're looking to me for some kind of insight into that?
Oh, no.
I don't know anything.
I'm going to give you a life lesson.
Oh, good.
That
okay.
Hopefully you will move forward and know exactly how you got there.
All right, hit me.
Most of us think we got here because of the bad decisions that we made.
Okay.
But most of us actually got here because of all the decisions we just didn't make at all.
Right. That's reasonable.
Life is moving forward, and it's going to spank the crap out of you if you don't get up and make some decisions. So, recently, what is your...
You're looking right at me, so I
want to know
like
what's your big life... Well, I don't know. I don't, you know. But what's a life decision you've made here lately? PC.
What's that?
Make it PC.
No,
I don't want anything weird.
I mean, I think you're right, because I don't make a lot of decisions, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think a lot of people your age do. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean millennials.
I mean
people your age throughout history.
Yeah, I mean, I did leave a job earlier and then went to another job. but
that's a big life change.
That's it. Yeah, it is.
You decided that you didn't want this job, and then you went out and you got another job.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
That's a decision.
So the other thing in the news that I've been thinking about is that the Olympics are over.
Yes.
Which I think we can all go back to hating one another. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I
think it's a good time for hate.
Yeah. We can all applaud the fact, though, that I think we're all going to appreciate it, that while we love watching our people win, our television shows are going to go back to normal.
Yes.
I've been missing out on a lot of TV because of Olympics.
Well, I have never watched TV on the TV when things aired. I've always streamed it after the fact, so.
Yeah, but they don't air. There's nothing to stream after the fact. All the TV shows just go on hold. I don't watch them on real time.
That's a travesty.
It is a travesty.
Goodness, where have I been?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Not making decisions, apparently.
Not making decisions, apparently. So that's about all I got. What do you got going on this week?
There's a lot of angry arguments on my Facebook feed these days.
About what?
I mean, a lot of it's like gun control and stuff. But
oh, yeah,
I feel like,
out there.
You know, since that's out there, that like spurs arguments about everything else.
Yeah.
Because people are just like frustrated because they aren't winning that argument or they are, but like no one really wins an argument on Facebook because everyone goes away believing exactly what they believed when they came in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't even think of a metric by which you could even say that someone has won one of those arguments. But, you know, in any case.
More like emojis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. But it's like that actually that doesn't help anyone really.
No.
So, yeah, it's just weird. It's weird watching, like, spin-off arguments from
well,
the main argument.
This gun argument, I definitely have something to shove in the face of the right and the left.
Sure.
To shove in the face of the right, so many people are coming up with this argument in defense of the AR-15 that mm-hmm. it, you know, is that some people use it for hunting and this, that, and the other thing. Unless I'm mistaken, AR stands for assault rifle, doesn't it?
No, it stands for Armalite, which is the manufacturer.
Really?
Yeah, no, it doesn't stand for that at all. It's a pretty common misconception. And also, assault rifle doesn't really mean anything. But if you call it,
it means
a tactical
a rifle for assaulting.
Right. I think a more reasonable term is tactical rifle.
Right, right, right. So it's definitely a tactical rifle. It's a rifle
right.
for fighting.
Well,
so
yeah, you can shoot a lot of rounds and you can do it really quickly.
Right.
And, yeah.
And then
and
my argument to the other side is that the Second Amendment is not going away.
No.
You know, it just isn't. You know, so we have a
no,
lot of people.
No, I mean, I completely agree.
Right. And, you know, regardless of how people feel about it, you know, do you think you should do a little more, do a little less? Well, that's just the way that it is. It is not going away. It's a part of our Constitution, you know.
Yeah.
And people were so upset about booze going away that I don't think we're going back there for quite some time. You know? Booze is still an uncomfortable memory in
right.
American
I don't
history.
Think anyone wants a repeat of Prohibition, so
right.
We're not going to do it with guns either.
So up after the break, we got our guest. We got Cindy Vovoda after the break here, and she is the co-founder of Hunters of the Unknown.
I thought we were the Hunters of the Unknown.
Well, I think we are hunters of the unknown,
just in the
but I think there
sense.
Is the, like,
I see.
You know, capitalized.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so they basically, from what I've grasped, we're going to learn a lot more from her. They drive around and investigate all sorts of interesting things, a lot of things that I haven't even heard of. Stonehenge of Indiana? Have you ever heard of
no.
this?
No.
And
nope.
then you heard about this one, the Kentucky Goblin Investigation.
That's right.
And that one was, like, totally new to me. So stick around. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Cindy Vovoda.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for KCNR's Free Fire Radio, heard Monday through Friday mornings from 7 to 9, streaming live in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Tuesday, we will welcome Turtle Bay Exploration Park with an update on their events and programs at the park and at the Sheraton Hotel. We will also hear the latest from Haven Humane as they work on the goal of fewer homeless pets and a no-kill shelter. Your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Stone Kingdom provides you with luxury concrete and exotic rock features from around the world. Stone Kingdom at 290 Hartnell Avenue. Visit their amazing showroom where you can view dozens of colors of artisan concrete panels, whether it's interior or exterior, commercial or residential. Stone Kingdom will provide you with a realistic stone look, from kitchen and bathrooms, fireplace surrounds, accent walls, flooring and entries, to barbecue areas, man caves, columns and arches. Stone Kingdom. Visit their showroom at 290 Hartnell Avenue and check them out on Facebook. Stone Kingdom.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly, today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Cindy Vovoda. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Cindy? She's coming around.
Hello?
Cindy, there we are. Cindy,
hi.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly, Vovoda?
Voivoda.
Voivoda.
Voivoda. Huh?
We weren't sure what to do with the J.
Yeah.
Right. Most people aren't. The J
is Y. Well, having the name Chauncey, I definitely get that a lot. My wife's name is Terry, and my name's Chauncey, and we'll introduce ourselves to new couples, and people have to figure out which one's which.
Your last name's harder to get yourself around.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks Hayworth.
So I've really been kind of excited about having you on because I feel like you're doing what I wish I was doing, because unless I'm misreading your situation, I have been referring to you, to my wife and daughter, as basically being the Partridge Family of Paranormal Investigations, because I look at your website and you got the motorhome, and a lot of you are family members, and it looks like you guys all load up, and you get in there, and you go out and investigate some great stuff. Is that fairly accurate?
Yes, that is kind of what it's like, yes.
I love it. I looked at my
wife. My husband's part of the group, and so is my son.
Yeah, I looked at my wife and kids, and I'm just all, why are we not doing this? This is the greatest thing ever. So how do all of you get started doing this? You know, whose cockamamie idea was this that everybody decided to go along with?
Yeah, that would be me.
I was guessing.
Yeah, I've always been interested in the paranormal, you know, really my whole life. You know, then I got married, had kids, And my son actually has a twin sister. They are 19 now, so they are older.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister wants nothing to do with this.
Oh, really?
So
why is that?
We would kind of plan our vacations around, like, the Roswell UFO Festival or, you know, different, you know, paranormal places and stuff. And then kind of once the ghost shows started, you know, appearing on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of discovered, oh, we could actually do this. And I just decided one day, you know, that I'm going to start my own group. And that's how we started, with me, my husband, and my son.
Did you get a raised eyebrow from your husband at first?
He kind of goes along with whatever ideas I have. I know I have some crazy ideas at times. He just kind of goes along with it.
Right. Well, that's absolutely awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, my
awesome.
Son's always been interested in the paranormal as well, just growing up. I mean, I guess kind of growing up in the family that we are.
But your daughter's just had enough.
It kind of fits.
Your daughter's just had enough of it.
She just wants nothing to do with it. I think it scares her a little too much.
Oh, well, that's justifiable. You know, I think that's totally justifiable. My youngest daughter, I could definitely see. Well, we were watching a horror movie maybe a month or two ago. And she's sitting there watching it, and then something scary happens, and she just goes, "Oh no!" And you know, pulls up her pillow in front of her face and covers her face for like 5 minutes. She was done.
That,
she wasn't
that's
interested.
My daughter.
Yeah.
She rarely watches horror movies.
Yeah. All right. So so what does this entail? You know, this is really, really just very cool. So how far are you guys going, and where are you guys coming from?
We are based out of the Chicago suburbs. So we're in Illinois. Because
the Roswell Festival, that's out here in California,
where it's
right?
Interesting.
Roswell's, you know, way out here. Are you coming all the way out here?
We have. I've been to Roswell a few times,
New Mexico,
actually.
But yeah.
Yeah. We've done an investigation at the Pioneer Saloon in Nevada.
Hmm.
We've been out by Area 51 a few times.
So the Pioneer Saloon is new to me. What is the Pioneer Saloon?
It's a really super old saloon that's kind of out in the desert, just outside of Las Vegas. And it's supposed to be haunted. And you could actually rent the place out for the night and investigate, and that's what we did.
Awesome.
Is it actually haunted?
The only thing I can remember that really happened while we were there was the jukebox shut off by itself.
Hmm.
It was kind of like, and there's no way to shut it off that I know of without reaching all the way behind it and like pulling the plug out.
Right.
Well, so that was kind of weird.
That in itself is terrifying.
I don't remember a whole lot happening there.
So when you go do these things, do you tend to lean towards UFOs, lean towards ghosts, or do you just find an opportunity that you haven't done yet and kind of hit out that? Or do you have a favorite topic that
anything.
You're chasing?
We investigate anything that's strange or unusual.
Right.
We do the hauntings, UFO sightings. Like I said, we've been out by Area 51. We do cryptids like Bigfoot.
Ooh.
Bigfoot, Dogman, East of Bray Road, those type of things. The farthest we've been is Mexico. We have gone to Mexico to kind of check out the Mayan pyramids, the ancient ruins there.
Oh, I would love to do that, absolutely. Man, I am so jealous of your lifestyle. How many times a year are you doing this?
Through the summer months, we usually do something about once a month.
Because
The weather does kind of factor in. Although we just did a hunt for the Vista Bray Road just 2 weekends ago in the dead of winter, which was different.
So how'd that go?
So we are pretty active. We do quite a few investigations every year.
And so this hunt for the Vista Bray Road, how did that go?
We were contacted by a local guy who actually would go out in the woods and look for himself. He lived in Wisconsin. That's where the Vista Bray Road is kind of, you know, thought to live in Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin. And so we went up there to meet with him and kind of interview him. And he told us, like, where does he go? Actually, I think winter would probably be one of the better times to search for the creature because there's less people. You're going to be able to see the tracks really good in the snow, or, you know, if the snow is melting, if it's mud. So there's a good medium for tracks. The leaves are off the trees, so you kind of got a good sight through the woods, too. So, you know, honestly, it probably was a good time. We just went out during the day for this one, and it was kind of bad timing because I guess there was a gun range nearby, and we could hear gunshots going off constantly. We even went into the ranger station to make sure, is it okay for us to be out in the woods? And they said it's contained. It was fine. But I think that the gunshots would scare off anything that, you know, might be in the area. So we didn't come across anything then.
Well, I'm sure as a fan, it's really nice to, you know, even though maybe your chances of a sighting are reduced, you know, it's really sort of fun to be in the area and make the connection to those
and
places
was.
That you
read about.
We don't
usually go hiking in the winter. So it was definitely different. And a little treacherous, too. The trails were very icy.
Yeah, that's up in Wisconsin, right? You know,
that's Wisconsin.
Cold up there, so.
Yeah, Sean doesn't watch the news, but it's been very cold up there.
Yeah, right.
All right, so you know, before we get to the break, when we come back, I have two of these experiences that I really want to talk to you about, Stonehenge of Indiana and the Kentucky Goblin Investigation, both of which are very new to me, so I'm excited to find out about those. But aside from those, you know, what's your favorite? What's your favorite thing that you've gone to investigate?
The favorite thing that I've done is our Area 51 investigation. Which we actually went out there three different times before we finally made it to the top. You have to go climb a mountain, basically, to be able to actually see the base. There's only one place left that's on public property. It's called Peekaboo Peak. And the first time we went, it was like 100-something degrees out, and it was just so hot we couldn't make it. The next time we went was in April. And it was snowing by the time we got to the mountain. And come to find out, there was like feet of snow still on the mountain, so we never would have made it. So actually, I think it was, you know, a year or two ago, we went, it was about 2 years ago. We went, it was the perfect time. We went in June, and you have to rent, we flew out to Las Vegas. We rented a 4x4 vehicle because you need four-wheel drive. You have to drive out in the middle of the desert. It's like 20-something miles on these dirt roads, and the roads kind of deteriorate the closer you get to the mountain. We only had GPS coordinates. We really didn't know where we were going. So that's, you know, pretty dangerous in itself. You're out in the middle of nowhere, no cell signal. Once you get to the base of the mountain, then you have to climb up the mountain. And that was pretty hard because the side of the mountain is like this loose shale. And so that was pretty hard kind of climbing up. The mountain's like 7,000 feet in elevation. I think, you know, we're from Chicago, so the elevation was just, you know, kicking our butts too. We were so out of breath because we weren't used to it. But we did finally make it to the top of the mountain, and you could see in the valley below the base is situated in a valley surrounded by mountains. You could see off in the distance, you know, it looked like a runway, some buildings down there. And kind of on the tops of different mountains, you could see these devices that, you know, that like they're listening to you. You know, I'm sure they knew we were there.
Right.
Probably figured we were harmless enough.
Right.
And this was an all-day event, too. It took us like the entire day, you know, just to get there and get back down. But that's definitely my favorite adventure that we've done.
That is something I have definitely wanted to do, and I feel I'm close enough to be able to pull it off within some reason. I just don't know if my wife is really willing to scale the shale to get up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell everybody we should have brought ropes.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier. Like my son, you know, he's young. He just climbed right up the side of the mountain.
Right.
Like, he could have climbed up there with a rope and threw it down for the rest of us.
Yeah, mocked you on the way past, I'm sure. All right, well, we're coming up on break. You're listening to Cindy Voivoda. From Hunters of the Unknown, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
This is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
A long, long time ago,
Don McLean is one of America's most enduring singer-songwriters, forever associated with American Pie, and he's coming to the Cascade Theater Saturday, March 10th at 7:30. It's a rare opportunity to hear Songwriters Hall of Famer Don McLean live March 10th at the Cascade Theater. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas Wright Law.
I'm tired of working for minimum wage. I'm ready to go back to school and learn a trade so I can take better care of my family.
Shasta College has more job training programs.
I've always wanted to go to college, but I'm just not sure I can afford it.
Shasta College has more financial aid.
I plan to attend a university, but would like to save time and money by taking my prerequisites close to home.
Shasta College has more guaranteed transfer programs at a fraction of the cost of a CSU, UC, or for-profit college. For over 65 years, Shasta College has been helping people like you get more out of life with job training programs and transfer-level college courses so you can save 2 years' worth of higher tuition costs. With Shasta College, it's all about more. More classes, more flexibility, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Make an appointment today to talk to a counselor about how you can achieve your goals. Call 242-7650 and start fulfilling your educational dreams. For more information, visit online at shastacollege.edu.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Cindy Voyota. Voivoda.
Voivoda.
Let me get this. Cindy Voivoda and the founder of the Hunters of the Unknown. You know, in my notes here, we had two topics here that were really just totally new to me. What is the Stonehenge of Indiana?
Yes, that's a very interesting place. The Indiana Stonehenge is located in Brown County, Indiana, which is in the southern part of Indiana. I heard about it when me and my husband went down there, because Brown County is known for its fall colors, so the leaves are very beautiful in the fall time. We went down there, you know, just for like a weekend getaway, and this was many, many years ago. I noticed an article in a local newspaper that mentioned this, and I thought, oh, that is so interesting. You know, I want to find this place. And this was before iPhones, before you can Google anything. And it didn't really give real good instructions to it, just kind of said it was kind of near this trailhead. And so we kind of went out looking for it, didn't find it. And I thought, oh, you know, I want to go back there someday because I really want to find this place. And we finally did go back last year, which I did Google it and came up with some directions, but the place is not easy to find at all. It's pretty difficult. You know, it's kind of back in the woods. You know, you drive down these, you know, old gravel roads, you know, out into the woods. And the trail itself, it's off of the road, but it's got a tiny, tiny, tiny sign that even says it's a trail at all. So that was really, really hard to find. There's no place to park. We actually had to park kind of down the street in front of an abandoned house and just kind of walk the road for a little bit till we got to the trail. And you really had to be looking for it. You kind of had to know it was there to even find it. You take this trail through the woods, and the Stonehenge is on top of what they call Browning Mountain. Now, it is Indiana, so it's not actually a mountain. It's more like a big hill.
Right.
So we climbed the hill, you know, through the woods. When you get to the top of the hill, that's where you find these huge limestone stones just kind of scattered in a circle on the top of the hill. And so the kind of the legend of the Stonehenge is, you know, if you were to upright those stones, it would look like a Stonehenge because it would kind of be in a circle. Some people think they could have been an ancient temple, Native American site, maybe for ceremonies, cabin's foundation. Some people even say they're, you know, left there by aliens. I think kind of the most likely answer is that the stones were probably quarried, you know, by some early settlers and then just left there, you know, when they decided to move to another location. The stones are huge. You can tell that they're not natural because they do have like 90-degree angles on them.
Hmm. Yeah, and plus, why would settlers quarry stone and drag it to the top of a hill big
right.
enough for the Indianians to call
they're
it a mountain?
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge. Yeah, right. I don't think it would be the best place, you know, to settle. And the stones are really huge. I mean, they don't look like they're a foundation, you know, of a cabin or anything like that. Mm. You know, it's really kind of a mystery of why the stones are even there.
So and is there a preferred explanation in the area?
Is there what? Oh, a preferred explanation?
Yeah.
All the ones that I gave you are kind of the ones that we came up with.
I see.
But yeah, most people think that they were just left there by an early settlement.
Hmm.
Interesting. So no one really knows for certain.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's really a mystery.
Well, I know in certain parts of the United States over there, there's a lot of very kind of mysterious mounds that were created by the Native
yes.
Americans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there are mounds, you know, in Indiana also.
So I guess it wouldn't be too shocking that maybe this was, you know, one of their, I mean, it's on top of a mound. You know, it's funny, I used to live in Arizona, and I had some friends, roommates from Delaware, and they're just all, yeah, I can't believe all these mountains around here. And I would look around and be all, what mountains? There are no mountains here, you know, coming from Northern California, you know, I'm looking at two volcanoes when I go outside. But in your travels, have you found any, like, freaky evidence? Anything that, like, when you found it, you thought to yourself, wow, this really means something?
Other than, I guess, some experiences I've had at, like, haunted places.
Experiences count
as
evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I can tell you about one experience that I had at a place called Thornhaven Manor, which is also in Indiana.
I gotta love that name.
It's a cool old house, is what it is. A big house. It was a manor.
Very abode of a Victorian woman with a dead mother and tuberculosis kind of house.
Yeah, something very gothic.
It definitely is. Yes. my group was all sitting on the bottom by the bottom of the staircase there in the house. It's a two-story house, and we actually heard with our own ears, we heard a woman's voice say help, which was pretty cool. And then we happened to have a flashlight setting on the staircase, and the flashlight turned on, because we were sitting in the dark, like most ghost hunters do.
Right.
The flashlight turned on, and we saw with our own eyes, like, a mist form in front of us. And we're all freaking out and pointing at it like we're what in the world is that? And we did have a camcorder on us. The camcorder did not pick up the mist, but it picked our expressions up, of what was happening. So that was pretty profound that those two things kind of happened all at the same time. And then it makes you wonder, why are we sitting in the dark? Because we could be missing stuff.
Right.
So I do think that you should have some kind of ambient light in the room, to see shadows or like a mist, like figure like that as well. Cause I think you are missing stuff sitting in the dark.
Yeah. I've often thought that as well, that, part of believing is seeing. And so, doing it in the dark, my ex-girlfriend I used to live with had a bunch of reptiles, and they were blind to red light, and so at night they would have a red light on them, and it was always interesting to watch them hanging out in the dark, and I could see them, but they couldn't see me, and I could see what they did in the dark, But your experience, it's frustrating to not get that mist on camera, but it must have solidified all the more for you the reality of the situation when you guys all know you saw it, yet it didn't translate to camera.
Yeah, was it like pointing at it, but it's like it just isn't something the camera can pick up, or?
I think that was it. I think the camera could not pick it up.
That's freaky.
I don't know what visible spectrum it was in. I mean, we were, filming in night vision. And I don't think the camera could pick it up. But yeah, all of us saw the same thing. So that was pretty profound.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if these things that cameras don't pick up, if we're perceiving them in some sort of other way, because, our eyes work the same way as the camera. So how exactly are we perceiving these things that film just is not grabbing,
That's right.
Right.
So there's got to be a lot of... So when you go on your adventures, I assume that there's a lot of haunted stops along the way, because it seems like... Statistically, there's a lot more hauntings than most everything else.
Oh, yeah.
There is. You kind of got to dig for the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We had a guest on a couple months back, and he had a website called Terra Obscura. And it was basically like a little travel site that basically you could type in any state that you're in, and it would give you all the sort of... paranormal and just odd points of interest, including like the world's largest ball of twine and haunting places and stuff like that. And I'm just so jealous of what you do.
I mean, we all have full-time jobs too, so this
I don't doubt that. yeah Well, somebody's got to fund it. I assume that you're funding
it
yourself.
Exactly. It's expensive.
Yeah,
so you need the money to pay for it, so we got to work, unfortunately.
Right. All right. Well, we are coming up on our next commercial break. You are listening to Cindy Voivoda here on Radio Wasteland. from Hunters of the Unknown. Come on back.
Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck for you? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Cindy Voivoda from Hunters of the Unknown. So the second one that was on my list of your investigations that just the name blew me away, and Sean looked at me like I should know what this is, and I didn't. Kentucky Goblin Investigation. I'm loving it. What is this?
Yeah, so let me tell you the story of the Kentucky Goblins. Which is one of the most well-documented UFO encounters. So
that must be why Sean's looking at me like I was crazy for not knowing. Sorry, go ahead.
So the original story, this happened in 1955 on the Sutton family farm, which is located in a small town in Kentucky called Kelly, which is near Hopkinsville. And there was quite a few people at the farm this night. When one of the men decided to go outside and get a drink from the well, and he saw in the sky, he saw a round metallic metal object in the sky, And he went back in, you know, to tell everybody, you know, what he had seen. And everybody's like, yeah, right. You know, I don't think you saw anything. So they go outside to check it out. And then they see these small alien-like creatures, which they describe as about 3 to 4 feet tall. They have yellow, glowing, large eyes, talons for hands, these large pointed ears, and shiny gray skin. And it appears like they're floating. So like they're floating, and there's like 12 to 15 of them kind of surrounding them. So, you know, they kind of panic, think they're being attacked, and they get out their shotguns and start shooting at these creatures. And they would hit the creature, but it would sound like they're striking a tin can. So the bullets didn't do anything to them, didn't affect them at all. And this kind of went on for hours, it said, until the family decides, you know, this isn't getting us anywhere. We're getting in the car and going to get the sheriff. So by the time, you know, they go, when the sheriff comes, the creatures are gone. You know, there's no spaceship. But they did find, like, the bullet holes in the screen door, you know, and, it did appear there was kind of like a fight going on there.
Yeah.
There was a couple things that I found in the history that was interesting. I guess one of the neighbors saw an odd green light and just assumed it was like a pig that was loose, and they were looking for it. So, you know, there was a odd green light the neighbor seen that night. And I guess the Air Force came out the next day to kind of check the area. And then I did discover that there was this deathbed confession from a man who worked at Fort Campbell, which is nearby, who said that he had retrieved wreckage from a crashed UFO only 3 miles down the road the same night that all this occurred. So, you know, there's the thought that there's maybe an alien spaceship crashed, and then there's these creatures, and what happened to them. And then I came across another story, which if you go to the website weekandweird.com, you can see a story that happened in eastern Kentucky that sounded very similar to this one, you know, with the same creatures. There was a guy there that said that he was being attacked by them, and he said they were coming from an abandoned mine on his property. And there's actually photos on this website of these three-toed footprints that he said came from the creatures.
Interesting.
And so when you kind of connect the dots, he said they were coming from an abandoned mine. The people that wrote this article were Dana Newkirk and her husband, Greg, and they had asked the family. There was one living relative, Geraldine Sutton. She was a child at the time that all occurred, and they had asked her, you know, was there a cave on your property? And come to find out, there was. And kind of the thing that connected the two things was the Mammoth Cave System, which is the largest cave system in the world. And there's only 400 miles mapped of it. So you kind of come to the conclusion that possibly these aliens maybe went into the cave system, and that's kind of where they've been living all this time, only to come out and attack people once in a while, it seems. But last year, there was the solar eclipse, and one of the most best places to see it was in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And so we decided we're going to go down there to see the solar eclipse, and then I came across a story about the Kentucky Goblins. Come to find out, they do a festival in Kelly every year called the Kelly Little Green Men Days, which happened to be the exact same time as the solar eclipse.
Perfect.
And so that kind of all coincided. And so we did go down there for that. I did want to find a place, you know, that we could actually investigate. Mm-hmm. Somebody contacted us who had a house down in that area, and she thought her house was haunted. She happened to have some caves in her backyard. And so that's kind of where the whole investigation came to play. We did investigate her house. We did investigate the caves in that area, in her yard. She did have quite a few caves, and in town, as well. We didn't find any evidence of these Kentucky goblins, but it's definitely an interesting story.
Well, especially if it was, what, you know, 50, 60 years ago and yeah. the Air Force came out, I'm sure it's been swept clean.
Right. The guy that in eastern Kentucky that also said that these creatures were attacking him, that's a little more recent. That was in 2012.
Oh
really? Interesting.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit more recent.
Well, it seems like your little entourage there needs to start getting some heavy spelunking under your belt.
Right. Right. I can't say we're, you know, great cavers or anything.
Yeah,
so
the safety of the caving would be the part that would terrify me the most, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially an unknown cave.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're going to find.
Right.
Or,
with you, well, just the mere fact that they've mapped 400 miles of it is absolutely terrifying, not to mention what they haven't.
Right, right. And there's quite a bit more that they haven't. Yeah. I'm actually going to Mammoth Cave this coming weekend, and I'm pretty anxious to look for a map of what they have mapped out of the cave system and kind of see where that coincides with these places.
Well, unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of the interview here, and I would like to make sure that you have a little bit of time to tell our listeners where they can find out more about you, you know, online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Our website is www.huntersoftheunknown.com. All of these places that I've talked about, all our adventures, are all on our website. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hunters Unknown.
Yeah, and it looks like you guys are very, very active on Twitter and Facebook, and I think you can count Sean and I as being your next newest followers, because you guys sure have a lot.
Good. We are. We post something every day. Every day on all three of those.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. Going through your stuff has been just sort of really exciting to me, and it kind of goes to show me that I could be doing a lot more with my free time.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Anybody can do this if you set your mind to it.
Yeah, up here in Northern California, you know, there's a lot of old history and a lot of just great things to check out, and, you know, I'm just not going and doing it. All right, well, you've been listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Cindy Voivoda of Hunters of the Unknown. Thanks for checking us out. Come on back.
I can't control my freedom, no. Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Former President George W. Bush and his wife Laura have said goodbye to the late Billy Graham in Charlotte. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports from North Carolina.
The Bushes traveled here to the Billy Graham Library to view the preacher's casket and visit with members of the Graham family. The former president said he wanted to say goodbye to someone who was influential in his life and the lives of millions of others.
If there's such a thing as a